whenever I took my coat off, that meant I had about 10 or 15 minutes left. And he was sitting on the front pew, looking right straight up at me. And I preached about 20 minutes, and I hadn't took my coat off. And he looked at me as if to say, I mean, the expression on his face was saying to me, "When are you going to take that coat off?" I assure you, it's about 20 after 11 now. I'll be through by 20 after 12 or a quarter to 1, something like that. Okay? It is a pleasure to be back at White's Creek. I believe you had this platform here last time I was here, but I didn't. You had the something covered it up, but it was right about Christmas time last time I was here. I love this platform. I think it is beautiful. I love it. And I know that you do. And I just wanted to let you know that I pray. If this thing happens to fall off, my ears are small, and this thing don't want to stay on my ears too well. If it happens to fall off and just fall wherever it may, I'm going to keep on going. I don't think there's anybody that can not hear me anyway. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. I want to read verse 41 through 46. Matthew chapter 22, verse 41 through 46. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "Tish doki Christos, what think ye of Jesus? Whose son is he?" And they say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord say unto my Lord, Sit there, or sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither does any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Tish dokia Christos, what think ye of Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we bow our heads before you this morning, it is with gratefulness of heart that we acknowledge you as our Lord. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we want you to know this morning that we just want to do your will, whatever that will might be. Father, we just ask you to fill our hearts and our minds and our mouth with your words, that we might meditate upon your word, deliver it to your people as you see fit. Father, if there's one here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray this morning, Lord, that they might in their heart answer this question. What do they think of Jesus this morning? And Lord, if there's a Christian here this morning whose heart has grown weary, whose heart has grown cold, whose heart has grown indifferent, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to them this morning that they might reassure themselves of who they think Jesus really is this morning. Take our hearts and our minds and our mind and use them in the building of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 2,000 years ago in Jesus' day, many of the Jews, like we have today in America, many of the Jews did not know really who they thought Jesus was. They didn't accept him for who he was. They didn't accept him as God's son. They could not even imagine Jesus being born in a stable. God's son, the Messiah, the Savior of all of Israel, born in a stable? Oh no. He should have been born in Mount Sinai hospital. He should have been one of the honored guests in the maternity ward there. He should have, they should have proclaimed his birth in all the newspapers and on every television show and everywhere. The Messiah has been born. And so, because of the fact that he was born in a stable, they could not accept that fact. And they would not accept him as Messiah of his people. They rejected him. He didn't come in the way that they expected him to come. A lot of people today are waiting on that Damascus Road experience. They're waiting on God to strike them down and then lift them up. They're waiting on God to do some great miraculous thing, and they don't realize that God, in saving their soul, has already performed the most miraculous miracle that can ever happen to any individual. And so there are a lot of people today who will not accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. In a study not long ago, amongst college students, 76% of those college students admitted that they had no earthly idea who Jesus was. 56% of those same college students had to admit it, they did not go to church anywhere. Wasn't affiliated with anything that had to do with religion. Their minds were on other things. And so they didn't know who Jesus was. In the text that I read this morning, Jesus had been, in that 22nd chapter of Matthew, if you read it, Jesus had been attacked three times along this line as to who he was. Twice he had been attacked by the Sadducees, and once he had been attacked by the Pharisees. And now Jesus comes to the point where he asked them the question, the all-important question: what do you think of Christ? And that's the question that has been lingering for 2,000 years on the minds of men and women and boys and girls throughout all of our land, throughout all of the world. They said, well, he's the son of David. And Jesus said, well, then if he's the son of David, how did David call his own son Lord? I mean, how many of you that are parents would call your son or your daughter by the most majestic name that ever existed, Lord? We wouldn't even think of doing that. He's a son of David. He's just a great man. And that's what a lot of people today think of Jesus. He's just a great man. But the question today is Jesus really God? Now, we believe in the Trinity. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But when we start breaking it down, do we really believe that it's all in one, as Jesus said? We believe God the Father is the majestic Jehovah God on his throne in heaven. And we believe that he's in charge of everything. But when we go to breaking down Jesus the Son, we begin to reach a problem. We begin to think of him more as a son than as God himself. And yet, Jesus himself declared, God and I are one. You and I, when Jesus Christ came into our hearts and into our lives and gave us eternal life, we accepted him as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you were baptized in a traditional Baptist church, I can just imagine that that's what the pastor said or the preacher said. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, you've got all of the Holy Spirit that you'll ever get. Now, I don't mean by saying that the Holy Spirit will not infill you and refill you over and over and over again. But the day that Jesus Christ, or the night on a Wednesday night in a prayer meeting service at Terlanding Baptist Church in Jacksonville, North Carolina, when Jesus came into my heart, the Holy Spirit came in and took up his abode. God himself in the form of the Holy Spirit came and took up his abode in my heart and in my life, and I got every bit of the Holy Spirit that I'll ever get. There's nothing new about the Holy Spirit that I can receive. The night that I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I got all of Jesus that I could get. There's nothing new that Jesus can do for me that will bring any more salvation to my heart. Once saved, you're always saved. I recall, I've sat in court many, many times. And I recall a man who was on trial for murder. He had murdered 3 people. And somebody said something about giving him 3 death sentences. And that man said, and I won't ever forget it, he said, "You can't kill me but one time. You can't give me but one death sentence, because when I'm dead, I'm dead." And I wanted to go up and tell him, "Yes, but there's an afterlife." What do you think of Christ this morning? Now, it's of little importance what you think of this preacher. It's of little importance what you think about the preaching here at White's Creek. It's of little importance what you think about the singing, the choir, the special music that you have here. What do you think of the Southern Baptist denomination? That's of little importance. What do you think about the Blatant Baptist Association? That's of little importance. You see, until we make up our mind and we have it set in our heart what we think of Christ, all these other things don't matter. What do you think of Christ? Because we do think of him. I know you do. I do. I know that you think about Jesus Christ, but what do you think about him right now? While you're sitting right here, right now, what do you think about Christ? I believe that if a person honestly wants to know who Christ is, he can find out. I think that God's Word, the inerrant, infallible Word of God, gives us testimony and witness as to who Christ is. And I think if you want to know who he is this morning, that you can find out who he is because of the fact that he gave that kind of testimony to us. I believe with all of my heart this morning that any person who can utter a sound in English, who can say, "Lord, come into my heart. Make me one of your children." I believe with all of my heart this morning that any person who can say that can know who Christ is. I want us to look at Jesus Christ this morning. Look at him as a teacher. The greatest teacher that has ever been known. I had some great professors in college. Taught me a lot. I've forgotten everything that they taught me, but they taught me a lot. I had some great professors in seminary, taught me a lot, but I forgot about everything that they taught me. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ was a great teacher, and what he taught, nobody has ever forgotten. when Jesus said to Nicodemus, thou must be born again. Nicodemus didn't really understand what he was talking about. But Jesus went on to explain to him what he was talking about. You've got to be born a physical birth, Nicodemus, but you've also got to be born a spiritual birth. He was a great teacher. He gave himself to his students. That's what makes a great teacher. In our public schools today, we just have people filling this position sometimes. And one of the things that they have forgotten mostly is that they have to give themselves to the student. Jesus gave himself to the student. Follow Jesus through Samaria. See him going to that well. And see him talk to that woman at the well. And impressed her so much with what he taught her that she ran back to the village and she shouted and gave a testimony. Come see a man that has told me everything that I've ever done in all of my life. A great teacher who has told me everything, who's left nothing out. He was the greatest teacher of all times. What about a preacher? You've had some great preachers here at White's Creek. I know. I've been around Bladen County for a long time. Came to Bladen County in 75. That's longer than a lot of you have even been born or living. But you've had some great preachers here at White's Creek who's preached the Word of God. But Jesus was the greatest preacher of all times. Listen. Billy Sunday, Charles Spurgeon, Billy Graham, great preachers. I love to sit and listen to Paige Patterson preach. Not because I know a whole lot of Greek. He says a whole lot of things that I don't understand a lot of times. When he talks about it, but I just love to hear him preach. He's a great preacher. But Jesus was even greater than that. Think about Paul or Peter. Don't think about me because I am nothing in the sight of God. I can only do what God helps me to do. On my way over here this morning, I said, Lord, you got to help me this morning. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Lord, you've got to help me this morning. Folks, I will tell you, I've been doing this for 52 years. And I'm just as nervous today as I was 52 years ago in 1962. When I preached my first sermon. I thank God for this pulpit, and one of the reasons I stay behind it so much is so you can't see my knees knocking together. We have some great preachers, but my, what a preacher was Jesus. Preached like no other person could ever preach. He preached so that theologians could understand it. He preached so little babies could understand it. Suffer little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And when they came, he talked to them as if they were on his own level. He got down to their level and he gave himself to his students. What a preacher. What about a healer? We've got great doctors today. They can do almost anything miraculously. But I want to tell you one thing. I want to give you a fact. They can't do anything except for help God. They're just God's instruments of mercy. God touches their hands and touches them in a way that helps them to understand what you need in this physical body. What a great healer was he. Everywhere he went, he saw the blind who had been blind from birth. He saw the leper.
He saw the sick man. He saw the woman with an issue of blood. And he said, "Be thou whole." And immediately they were made whole. Folks, I want to tell you something. I stood in a hospital room and a lady said to me, "When will they ever find a cure for what's wrong with me?" I said, "Sweetheart, earthly doctors may not ever find it. But if you know Jesus Christ, one of these days you're going to be made whole. You won't have Alzheimer's anymore. You won't have cancer anymore. You won't have tuberculosis. Polio is almost a thing that has been eradicated. But that's because God has given doctors the knowledge to know what to do, research to help them to find an answer for all of that. But one of these days, when I walk on the golden streets of heaven, you won't see this big old scar that runs from here to here where they opened me up and did an operation on my heart. It'll be gone. Praise God, I won't have this pacemaker defibrillator any longer. I won't need it any longer. It'll still be in this old physical body. They don't take it out when I die. They put it in the grave with me. It'll still be there, but I won't need it anymore. Praise God, I'll have a new heart. And a new body. And a new life. Jesus was a great healer. One day he stood before the tomb of Lazarus, who had been dead for a long time, even began to smell. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And out of that grave, out of the death of that tomb, came Lazarus. And he said, "Take the death clothes off of him and let him go about his business." Folks, do you know why Jesus didn't stand in front of that grave and say, "Death come forth," or "Dead come forth"? If he had, if everybody in that graveyard would have come forth. But he was speaking to Lazarus, a great healer. Now I want you just to pretend with me for a few minutes. I've been to court, I've been in law enforcement since 1958. In some form or fashion. I've been a deputy, I've been a patrolman, I am now a chaplain at Bladenburg Police Department, have been for about 6 years. I was 7.5 years chaplain at Bladen County Sheriff's Department. I was a deputy at Bladen County Sheriff's Department. I've been in law enforcement since 1958 in some form or fashion. In between all the times that I have pastored churches. And I've spent a lot of days in court. But I want you to pretend with me this morning that we're in court. And I want to call forth. I'm the judge or I'm the prosecutor. You're the jury. And I want to call forth some witnesses to talk about this man, Jesus. The first man I'm going to call is Cephas. Cephas, what do you think about this man, Jesus? Well, he was one of the high priests. He was one of the most religious men in that day and time. And everybody in law enforcement recognizes the greatness of religious leaders. Cephas, what do you think about this man, Jesus? Well, I think that he's a great man. But we've had witnesses who say that they've heard him say, "Destroy this temple, and without hands I'm going to replace it in 3 days." Blasphemy. Cephas had nothing good to say about him. And then I want to call Pilate. Pilate, what do you think about this man, Jesus? Well, I find no fault in this just man. I find no fault in him. Matter of fact, my wife told me she had a dream last night and told me to stay away from him. But like all of the great politicians in our day and time, Kadesh Barnea, he followed the crowd. He listened to the majority. And the majority said, crucify him, crucify him. And so Pilate said, do as you will. His blood's on your hand, not mine. I'm going to wash my hands. But the more he washed them, the dirtier they got. And then, what about Judas Iscariot? Well, Judas, what do you think of Jesus? Well, I don't think much of him. And I tell you what, if you'll just pay me, I'll point him out to you. And so they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And he went into the garden. He had already told the soldiers of the high priest, whomever I kiss, that's him. And so he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss. And Judas, after all was said and done, tried to return the money. He knew, in that moment, he knew who Jesus was. But he was not convinced enough to give his heart and his soul to Jesus. I want you to know something, folks. I'm not a theologian. Even though I've been to seminary, I'm not a theologian. But I believe, with all of my heart and with all of my soul, because of what I read in God's infallible word, that even Judas Iscariot, if he had fallen on his knees and said, Lord, forgive me, Jesus would have forgiven him. But he never did. He went out and committed suicide because his conscience bothered him so much. Because he knew who Jesus was, and he was afraid to make that acceptance in his heart and his life. There's a lot of folks who come to church, maybe even some right here in White Creek, who are afraid to accept Jesus Christ into their heart and life because of the responsibility that they know that they're going to have to do or have. Judas, who do you think he is? What about that centurion that stood and stuck that spear in his side and saw that blood flow out? Listen to what he says. Surely this is the Son of God. When the sky turned dark, the moon turned red as blood. Surely this was the Son of God. This is the Son of God. We have crucified the Son of God. That's what the centurion said. And then, what about John the Baptist? Going about his own business, baptizing in the River Jordan. Jesus comes to him. And even while Jesus was yet a long way off, John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Oh, listen, John knew who Jesus was. He gave testimony as to who Jesus was. Do you know who Jesus is today? How many of your children have you witnessed to? How many of your neighbors have you witnessed to? How many of those folks that where you work at have you told Jesus is the Christ? There is no other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him only. God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And in John, the third chapter, when he talked to Nicodemus, he said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Peter says, that Jesus was both Christ and Lord. Well, what about you? What do you say? Who is Jesus in your life this morning? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all of these things will be added to you. And just prior to that, he was talking about the needs that we have, food and clothing and all the other things. But if we have Jesus in our heart, we have all of these other things already. Who do you think Jesus Christ is? Let's pray. Father, as we come now to the close of this message, we just turn it all back over to you and ask you, Lord, just to search hearts this morning. And Father, if there's one here who cannot say that Jesus is Lord and Savior in their life, I pray that right now the Holy Spirit might deal with them in such a way that they know that they must have Jesus in their life. Father, for every born again believer in Jesus this morning that's sitting within the sound of my voice, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might deal with that heart. That they might truly be able to say, Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings, and He's Savior of my soul. Take this invitational time and use it. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to play an invitational hymn. Will you stand?